Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Now, if you haven't noticed, our recent podcasts have really been focusing on making sure that we flesh out this whole niche thing as deeply as we possibly can, because we know that you as a financial services professional, if you have a real niche, not retirees or women, a real niche, a focused niche, that you can not only make a larger impact in your area, but also really, really grow your business very, very well. And our guest today is Marcy Bear. She's the president of Bear Financial Planning. She's got a book coming out very, very soon, The Social Responsibility Toolkit. And what we're going to talk to Marcy about today is not just socially responsible investing, which we have done a couple of podcasts on, but we've always looked at it from you as the financial advisor teaching your clients how to find and invest and help make impact with companies, whether it's through voting or just through where your dollars go. But Marcy's got a very interesting perspective on this, and she's actually taken it from both sides. So we're going to uncover that. So Marcy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Matt. Happy to be here.
All right. So let's talk about your journey. How have you, why in God's name are you a financial advisor?
Good thing is I don't often ask myself that. That's a good thing. So we just celebrated our 25th year in practice last year. So it's been going really well. I kind of grew up, long story short, in the business similarly. My dad was a life insurance agent actually for New York Life for 25-plus years and then moved over to E.F. Hutton. I then graduated from college. My goal was to play like professional sports or basketball or something. That didn't, I didn't go the professional route, and had to get a real job and started working for E.F. Hutton at the time, or Hutton Life, and just in the mailroom, and worked my way up to this department called Advanced Markets that had all the CFPs and attorneys and CPAs were there. And I said, wait a minute, this is much different than what my dad did. So as a insurance agent back in the 60s, that's when you know, went to somebody's house and did the kitchen table talk. And I had no interest in that. I would go into the office and sharpen the pencils and write out the birthday cards. But other than that, I had no interest in the business. Once I saw what these certified financial planners were doing for their clients and for the advisors within the firm, I was like, that's a much different kind of perspective. And the financial planning aspect of it really interests me. Much more holistic and broad. And so long story short is I eventually started with a small broker dealer in actually here in San Diego with a firm that was the advisors group. And the advisors group owned the Calvert Group. And Calvert Group is one of the premier and first socially responsible mutual fund companies, financial services company. And so that's when I started back in this social responsible, environmental, social, corporate governance kind of world, was way back in the early 90s.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it's, fast forward, worked with a couple of different broker dealers throughout my career, and most recently created an RIA with a group of advisors that we now have about 80-something advisors. I think we started with 15 or so, almost 4 years ago now. And we're up to about 80, 20-something offices, maybe 22 offices. And it's just been a wonderful journey. In financial services, as a female financial advisor, CFP, I got my CFP back in the 90s, 1999 to be specific. There's not too many female CFPs back then, nor now. And so it's been interesting. Whether, you know, financial crises and recessions and crashes and still here. Sustained power.
Let's talk about, now you just kind of used a couple of acronyms there interchangeably, and I'm a little bit confused. So we've talked about socially responsible investing before, which is something definitely that you focus on, but you also just said, I don't think I'm going to be able to say, what did you say? ESG.
Environmental, social, and governance.
Okay, yeah, explain, please.
Certainly, there is, you know, every industry has alphabet soup of acronyms. Financial services is no different. And then when you start getting in specializing into this type of investing, even more. So, I mean, basically high level, I say you're either investing in responsible companies or irresponsible companies.
Wow.
Right? And you're making an impact one way or the other. So whether you call it impact investing or SRI, which is socially responsible investing, mm-hmm. or sustainable responsible investing, or impact, or ESG stands for the environmental and social and governance, it's a broad tent. Socially responsible investing early days was really exclusionary. We were really excluding a lot of industries, and it goes way back to apartheid times, and mm-hmm. you know, not investing in companies that did business with South Africa and the regime, to religious groups that didn't want to invest in certain things. Mm-hmm. Fast forward more, we're looking about more inclusionary and just trying to find the best of the companies in certain industries that do have good corporate governance. So they are environmentally conscious. Mm-hmm. They do care about their employees on the social side or the communities that they work in. And so it's more from a broader perspective. So there is a lot of terminology here, but the bottom line is that we're trying to make a greater impact, work with companies that are, you know, care about their employees, care about sure. the environment, and not just big polluters. And we find that the performance of these companies tend to be, they're being rewarded. They're not getting sued. Mm-hmm. You know, you as a shareholder, if you have to write a big lot, a big check for a lawsuit because you spilled oil all over the place, or you opened up bank accounts fraudulently on, you know, behalf of your customers, mm-hmm. or you cheated on your emissions if you're an auto manufacturer and said something, you know, you're going to write a big check right. when you get sued, and that affects you as a shareholder. So from just a moral standpoint, clients don't like to own those companies, but then from a pure financial standpoint, makes sense. If we try and avoid those companies, they're going to get sued. Perhaps our performance is going to be better.
Sure.
And we're just a more forward-thinking company, and we'll be around for the future.
How do you find that out, though, Marcy? I mean, it just seems to me that there's nobody who's perfect out there. So how do you figure out how to balance your level of support for an organization?
Hey, I'm glad that you brought up the whole perfect thing, because that's what we do stress with our clients, that there is no perfect company. That what we're trying to do is invest in companies that are tried and true, have tried to do the right thing. They do have good, strong corporate governance, because that's where it starts from, right? If you're doing shady things from the top, right? Mm-hmm. The fish, what they say, it stinks from the head or whatever. it starts from the top. And so when you have good corporate governance and good quality people in the firm, in the company, doing the right things for the right reasons, they may misstep here or there, but they'll quickly recognize it and then act on it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so those companies, those are the type of ones that we want to be around. We do a lot of vetting. We work with a lot of the top-notch financial firms and mutual fund managers. That's what they do day in and day out, vet these companies. And that's what we offer with inside our portfolios.
Okay, awesome. So when it comes to people who do SRI, There's starting to become more and more prevalent. In fact, we've had three. You're the third person on the show, but you do something even more specialized. So remember, I want all of our listeners to remember, the more specialized you can get, the narrowest field that you can have makes you that person, right? And Marcy's successfully done that. So let's talk about how you have added another layer of specificity, because you help small to mid-sized businesses create this socially responsible stuff, right? Talk about that, please.
Yeah, so obviously advisors in any industry actually get really nervous when you start narrowing that niche.
Sure.
But I think it's a whole lot easier for somebody to think of you and refer to you if you have that really defined niche. If you just say, oh, I work with women getting ready to retire, well, that's a lot of people. But if it's women that retire, you know, from a certain industry or a certain company, or in our case, we specialize in LGBT couples, female executives, and I say progressive business owners, because in this kind of political climate and just social climate that we're in, and the portfolios that we manage, the progressive type of business owner is more attracted to us. And so on what you're talking about with regards to the book and the education about small to medium sized companies is that there are a lot of companies that just want to become maybe more socially responsible themselves. They just don't know how to do it.
Okay.
So there are some great certifications out there that businesses can get, like the B Corp certification through B Labs, or they can get other niche kind of certifications. Like, I'm an LGBT certified business owner as well as a woman owned certified business owner. Okay. So those are some little niche kind of things, but it doesn't overall show that you're a socially responsible company. Right. So B Corp does help with that, or you could be a part of conscious capitalism, again, another movement or tribe of business owners that understand it's not just about profits and it's people, profits and the planet.
OK, B Corp. What does that mean?
Oh, OK. So B Corp is an actual certification that somebody can get. It's not like a corporate structure like an S Corp or a
sure.
C Corp.
That's why I was asking. Yeah, it's confusing.
So okay. It gets a little confusing. I actually in the book, I have a whole chapter that talks about the difference between that and then a benefit corporation, because a benefit corporation is actually a legal structure that you can actually file and says that we are a corporation. We are here for making a profit, but not only a profit. And so it kind of gives you that leeway from a corporate standpoint and a shareholder standpoint that says everybody on board understands that we are a benefit corporation and we're not just solely for shareholder increase in value.
Okay.
And so B Corp is not that corporate structure, but it is kind of like a good housekeeping seal approval that says this company's gone through a lot of vetting and gone through B Lab is the actual certification arm that actually certifies these companies. And so it'd be companies, you know, like Patagonia and Ben & Jerry's and Whole Foods, you know, companies that in addition to very small companies. So a one or two person, you know, marketing firm or a PR office supply, you know, whatever it happens to be, they can go through this process. Our book kind of fills the gap in that it's not going to be a certification, but it's really for that small to medium sized business that says, gosh, I wonder, you know, our employee program, our employee benefits program, is it really broad enough? Does it have a lot of the good benefits that employees would want? Like, personally, we add one day a month that our employees get a paid day to volunteer. So every month they can pick a different charity or the same charity and volunteer and get that paid. Well, if you start building out employee benefits program that kind of have those things in there, family, medical leave, just round out the benefits. So that book kind of goes through this assessment that people are able to take, a business owner or a management team can take on the environment. Like, what are we doing environmentally? Like, you know, where are we with regards to recycle and products that we use, and where are we ordering them from? Are we ordering them from, you know, a local company where there can be some local impact to that business owner, or are we ordering from, you know, some large big box store?
So, okay. Well, so I own a small business.
Yeah.
And I hope that I'm following everything that you just said. Does it also, okay, let's just take a really, really, really big step back. Where do I start, Marcy? I mean,
yeah, exactly. So because, that's why we created these assessments. So these little, you know, tests, so you can say, oh, let me see where I do stand. You know, I think I'm good, but, you know, let me take this assessment. Let my management team take the assessment. Maybe the whole company take the assessment. And then you get a really eye-opening, you know, oh, we get an A here, C here, D over there. Once you get that assessment, knowledge is power, right? So once we have that knowledge, now we can start working on things and say, oh, well, what if we just added this over here? Or what are other companies our size doing? And start benchmarking. And when it comes to the kind of the governance side, the large corporations have been doing this for a long time. You look on their websites, or they have whole departments now on corporate social responsibility. They have whole teams and, you know, upper management is involved with corporate social responsibility. It's the medium and small size companies that we're so busy just, you know, running our business and just trying to, you know, keep the lights on and just go day in and day out, where we don't really step back and do that business planning or certainly not the business planning when it comes to these areas of employee engagement and working with the millennials. I mean, that's huge. You've got these companies now that have, you know, you've got 70, 80 year olds in your companies working alongside, you know, 20 year olds. Right. And there's a big difference of way people grew up and work ethic and how do you work and how do you communicate? And so that's a whole part of it too, is bridging those generations.
How do you use this from a marketing perspective? So let's say I'm a financial services professional and I want to not only offer, you know, SRI or that stuff, but I also want to make sure that I'm also walking the walk. How would you put that out into your spheres of influence to show how unique and different you are?
Well, I think that is important because there's people that can be, you know, chameleons in this business and you know, whoever walks through the door, oh, I specialize in that just because that person is, you know, coming out of the military or, you know, works as a doctor or whatever, you know, and they're just all over the place. So we try and be, you know, trying true to really walk the talk. And I've just been involved with the organizations here. We're happen to be in San Diego. I'm a San Diego native. So I've created an LGBT pride event going on, gosh, I don't know, 15 years now. We started with a handful of like 25 families in the park, and now it's grown up to about 15,000 people. And so we just try and do a lot of things within the community that's just within, stays within our niche and supports that niche, whether it be women-owned businesses or LGBT and other diverse businesses. I think just really putting your heart and your energy, your social time into those areas and those causes so that you're in alignment. I think just being authentic is the easiest. Like, so many people get so stuck on how to build a niche. Well, just look at what you like to do. You know, where are you already spending your time? Look at your clientele, see if there's some commonality there. But then also just who do you like working with? Who do you like hanging out with? Work is not work when you enjoy who you're working around and who you're working for. So while I'm trying to cut back my hours to spend more time with the family, I love what I do. I love our clients and we have a great time.
Yeah.
So if you can enjoy that, it does not make it work and hard.
I love authentic and people can smell it out, right? I mean, you know, that's probably a terrible analogy, but you know what I mean? Like when you're really there, when you're feeling what you're doing in your heart, not just your head, it's not just profitable, it's something that you firmly believe in. And Marcy, you just outlined all of these different things on what advisors should look for. We take advisors through that program, through our, when we do our Big Picture Brand Foundation program, and they struggle with it so much. I'm like, okay, who are your favorite clients? And they're like, well, you know, this is my favorite client. Okay, well, why are they your favorite client? Well, because they've got $10 million with me. That's not really what I'm asking, right? I'm asking what do you like about them personally? And luckily it's this whole, you know, peeling the onion. You just have to keep peeling and peeling and peeling. And what you have done, which is one of the reasons we wanted you on the podcast, is you peeled that onion down to a such an interesting niche that who you are and where your heart is and what you believe in is just part of your entire company's makeup. And now with, you know, the RIA, with all of these more advisors that are getting on board, people who are listening to this, they need to realize that this is something that isn't going away, especially when you start focusing on wealthier millennials, people who want to do planning early on. Right, Marcy? I mean, they're going to ask the questions that you're talking about right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Well, and I think one area that we also did a lot of work with in our firm was make sure we communicate on our website as well, is that we want clients to feel comfortable, because especially working within the LGBT community, but then also the women's market is so many times we heard from prospects, they then quickly became clients, so that they went to an advisor and they just didn't feel comfortable. Yeah. They didn't share that they were gay. They may have been single, or they just went as a single person. They were a couple, but they individually had different financial advisors because that advisor never even asked them. They just saw them as, you know, a woman, single, just assumed that they were straight. even though they may have been in a long-term relationship. And we know as CFPs, we need the whole family.
Yes.
We really need to understand the dynamic. So we really try and make it a very comfortable environment so people can bring their full self to the appointment and to our relationship, because that's the only way we can really do our work, is we really understand them and they can let down their guard and really let us know who they are and what their hopes and dreams are.
Let's talk about some of the, okay, so moving away a little bit from the SRI ESG, let's talk about the LGBT group. And and so what are some of the special needs, and especially, I mean, with female executives, progressive business owners, let's just talk about, what are you bringing to them? That level of openness and receptiveness, when you have that conversation and they realize that you're an ally,
right?
What do you need to do that's special necessarily or different than a run-of-the-mill CFP who doesn't have that conversation?
That's a great question. And so, because I think that you can be an ally and an advocate for a community without having to be in that community.
Sure.
In my particular case, the LGBT community, I am gay. I do have, my wife and I have been together for 34 years, I think it is now, since high school. And we have two awesome boys that are young men now. My goodness, that one's just graduated from college and the other one's a junior in college. And so I bring that same experience. I understand not only what families are going through and how to raise and juggle business and a family and your finances. So I understand from that practical standpoint, but then also within the LGBT community, just the challenges that we've gone through on the financial planning side. Mm-hmm. And so now things are somewhat easier with marriage equality and some of the state tax laws and the income tax laws. Before, it was extremely challenging.
Yes.
When we had to file multiple tax returns. Mm-hmm. Each person had a tax return, then you had a joint one. And then, I mean, you end up with, you know, I don't know, 7 different returns. Not that many, but it
right.
felt like it.
Sure.
But you certainly had, you know, 2 separate this and that and coordinating it all in estate taxes. And so from a planning standpoint, things are a lot easier if a couple is married. Mm-hmm. Now, there's certainly couples that are not married and for whatever reason choose not to be married, or it's just doesn't make that financial sense to do it for whatever reason. We still have to do some unique planning when it comes to, as you would with any straight couple that decides not to get married or
yes.
is not married yet. And so there's a lot of straight couples also that choose not to be married. That's certainly a trend as well. But we need to make sure we're still protecting each other. If there's children involved, we need to make sure we're protecting the children as well. So I wouldn't say, so there's some actual planning techniques as CFPs that we need to do. But just from, like I said, being an ally, mm-hmm. just understanding the community and just being open and receptive to that community, because there's a lot of underserved communities in financial services.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't have, again, we don't have a lot of female CFPs. We don't have a lot of people of color that are CFPs or financial mm-hmm. advisors. And so if you only went to if you're a woman, you only went to a female advisor, or if you're black and you only went to a black advisor, I mean, that really narrows the niche
yeah.
or narrows the market of people that you can see or be advised by. So I think, again, we can still serve those communities. It's just understanding what are the nuances of that community or that the culture that person may have came up in mm-hmm. and just being sensitive and doing good, solid financial planning for whomever is in front of you.
Gotcha. All right. Some of those worksheets. When can we expect the book? Give us some other things. And how can people get in touch with you? So, Marcy, if somebody listening to this podcast and says, man, I really want to learn from Marcy, or I really want to do what Marcy's doing, because that's who I am. And that's what I believe. Help our audience be able to develop in the way that you've been able to develop over the last 25 years.
Yeah, we would love to connect with anybody on social media. Most of all of my handles or whatever they're called, mm-hmm. Marcy Baier, MarciBaier, MarciBaier. So whether that's Twitter or LinkedIn, our website is Baier, Baier, financialplanning.com. So any of those places, LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever, Facebook, just hit us up.
Okay.
My business partner, Victor Roscoe, and I love to reach out and speak to other financial planners industry groups, whatever it happens to be, on this whole topic of socially and sustainable responsible investing. We love educating not only the advisors within our firm, but outside of our firm.
Wonderful.
We think that if we can raise up the quality around it, all the advisors understanding this, they will support this type of investing when a client comes to them. There are less advisors that specialize in this than investors asking for it. So I come from definitely the background of abundance and that mindset. And there's enough business out there for all of us. We need the advisors to get on board so that they can help support the clients and the investors that are looking for this type of investing. And we want them to be educated and so that they put together really solid portfolios, keep the industry in a pure manner and serving the client.
Wonderful. Well, Marcy, thank you so much for your brain, all of the work that you've done, and really what you're doing for our industry. We all really appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt. It was great having being on this show today.
Wonderful.
Top Advisor Marketing. You guys are doing a really good job for all us advisors.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And that's really what we're here to do is to bring people just like you, Marcy, onto the podcast so that advisors who really want to niche, who want to market themselves in a way that not only hits their head, but their heart, but also to run a very profitable business. We want to make sure that we're putting examples out there so that people can emulate people just like you, can learn from people just like you, so they can run a business that is in line with who they are and what they do.
Sounds awesome.
Awesome. Well, if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. We are approaching our 100th episode, which we're going to have a very special guest, which we'll be teasing you about a little bit more as we go. We'll also make sure that we have some links to Marcy's contact information. So if you have any questions, you can contact her directly. And if you do know anybody who would love to have the opportunity to have a specialized niche like what Marcy talked about today, make sure that you share this podcast with them by clicking the share now button below. So for everybody at Bear and everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.